glad to feel His presence in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's open them up. Galatians chapter 6. Remember to keep family and I, Galatians 6 there. Keep us in prayer this week. We're going to be traveling right after service, I think. Going to South Carolina to visit with my mother. And be back on Saturday, so I'll be preaching again next Sunday. Brother Alexander will be taking the service this Wednesday. Let's pray for traveling mercies. The Lord bless the trip. Be able to sow some good thing. Man, we are quiet this morning. I'll tell you what, y'all need to get that spirit on out of this room right now. You know you ain't got a quiet pastor, so ain't no excuse. Even if you're going to take the spirit of your pastor, I don't think we'd be that quiet. Come on now, that's right. And I think this is going to be all right with the other sisters. I don't think they mind, but Sister Shirley's offered to do next Sunday at her house. She's got some chicken ready for us. So we all can, I think we'll jump on board with that one.
Praise the Lord.
I don't think anybody turned down good old home fried chicken. That's just sinful. Turn that down. We sure appreciate our sister doing that. So we'll plan on that next week. Sisters get together. I don't want nothing to do with it. Just get it done. And I'll come reap the benefits. Amen. Yeah, I'll do the dishes. That's all right. All right, let's go to the Word now. Come to the house of the Lord for that purpose. Did you come to hear from God today?
Yeah.
Amen. He's never failed me yet. So, Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life after everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are crucified keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Amen. We'll see which way the Lord takes this thought. I do think I'm going to try to wrap up Galatians today. We'll see. I never know for sure. But for to end this book that we've been studying, I like to preach, only the enduring reap a harvest.
Oh my, yes.
Let me say that one more time. Only the enduring reap a harvest. Let's bow our heads together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you have a need you'd like to lift up to Him? God sees your hearts. He sees what's behind that hand. Now come believing, as James said, don't let the man that thinks he doubts or be double-minded think he'll get anything of the Lord. You come believing that God's promise is whatsoever you desire, He'll give it to you today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. We could be anywhere else, and we were for many times and many years in the world, wasting our life and trying to find that satisfying portion. But Lord, it's here with us today. We thank you for that, Lord, that you promise you never leave us or forsake us until the end of the world. It might feel like it's all dark and gloom, but we know when we come back to the Word, there's a light that still shines in Goshen, Lord. And we appreciate that this morning. I pray for the children of God that you'll heal every sick person that's in here. That, Lord, you'll restore us back to our joy of our salvation and give us the heart to serve you anew like never before. Set us on fire, Lord, to be the Christians we ought to be. We thank you for your promise of your Word that wherever two or three would gather together, you'd be in your midst, Lord. And I know you're a man of war. You're a conquering Lord that doesn't put up with anything of the devil. We pray, Lord, that you'll come and take preeminence in this service and just bless each Christian that's here. Those that are lost, let them leave saved today, Lord. There's those that are empty. Let them leave filled. Those discouraged, may the encouragement of the Lord be upon them. We commit this service to you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord Jesus. You know, Paul said one time, shall I come with, I think it was right here in the book of Galatians, if I remember right, shall I come in the spirit of meekness or with a rod or with a sword, you know? And I wonder that sometimes we come to the house of the Lord, we're trying to find the mind of God as ministers. I've learned a long time ago that I can think up a good thought, it can feel real inspired, and it can be the word, but that doesn't mean I'm supposed to preach on it today. And when walking in this building, just to let you know, that spirit of condemnation is still in here, and it's hindering everything. God help us to quit listening to those things, because that you've got to believe God. You've got to believe God when you come to the house of the Lord. I just started reading. I just finished it here. I've got it around here somewhere. I'm just going to have to follow the Spirit this morning. Maybe we'll get to our thought, maybe we won't. But I just read in His presence this morning, or actually the last few days here. And Brother Branham says some things in here I'd like to share real quick. He says, when you come into His presence, listen now. He says, then when we realize how little we are, when we realize how great He is and how close we come in of coming to His presence. He talks about Abraham, that Abraham was the friend of God. He was a patriarch of patriarchs. But when he got in the presence of God, he fell down on his face. That's right. Now let me read you a few more here. He says, man in the presence of God realizes he's a sinner. Come on now. They were everyone circumcised according to the law. They had carried the commandments and everything. But when God spoke and they moved up into His presence, they realized that they were out and that they were not right. There was something that was lacking because they were in the presence of God. Let me skip down. St. Peter, in the presence of God, asked for God to depart out of His presence because he recognized himself a sinner. Once in the presence of God, you'll feel so little and of no account. So what do we do with that too often? We don't keep reading the rest of the sermon. We just stop there. And we go home in our pity parties. And we'll say, I'm just a worthless sinner. And I come into the presence of God. And all it does is expose me. This is why many sinners won't come to church. Because they know they've got sin in their life. And they begin to feel that feeling that it's going to expose me. It's going to show me what I am. But they forget to press on through that every man has come to that place. There's not a man that's ever... We just talked about saints. We talked about patriarchs. We talked about the man that Jesus handed the keys of the kingdom. Him saying, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Hallelujah. And we think, well, then that they recognize they're sinners so they could be condemned. That's not why God does that. That's not why the presence of the Lord comes. Come on, now turn to Isaiah 6. We think of the prophets of God, and we begin to forget that these guys were men. These were men like you and I. These guys had to go to church to keep the victory. These men had to pray to stay in fellowship with God. These men had to believe the promises just like you and I, except they had to do it a lot harder than us. Isaiah had to prophesy by the moving of the Lord, a virgin shall conceive. He went to the grave not seeing that word fulfilled. He was sawed asunder. What do you think they were saying? Where's that virgin at, Isaiah? You false prophet. Hallelujah. But he stayed true to the word and he gave his life. They sawed him in half. God help us quit complaining. My goodness. You ain't been sawed in half yet for the word of God. But here's the thing. It was the word of God and it came to pass. It wasn't 700 years later. But God's word will speak. Amen. Give us more faithful people who stand for the word in this age, saying, well, it's been 50 years. Where's the promise of His coming? You don't understand God's timeline. When God says something, it's going to happen. Amen. California is gone. Russia will bomb this nation and the Vatican, and it will bring the world into total annihilation. But before any of that, God will sweep down His hands and bring that redeemed body back up. Glory. He'll resurrect all the saints from all ages, and we'll come into the sky and meet Him there before one bomb falls. Amen. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, the mighty prophet of God, Isaiah, one of the most faithful men there's been in the time of persecution, a man who wrote an entire commentary to the Bible, when he came into the presence of God, this is what he had to say. Woe is me, for I am undone. because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When you come into the presence of God, it's a fearful thing. I don't care, sinner, saint, in between. There ain't no in between. You're one or the other. When you come into the presence of God, it's a fearful thing. We thank God for His blessings, and I appreciate the presence of the Lord blessing us and giving us a good time once in a while when we worship the Lord, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the presence of God. People think, "I wish I could see an angel." You see one time. Right. You'll change your opinion all over again. You'll say, "Lord, help me to do what's right before He shows up." Come on now, you think you're crazy, but that's the Word of God. You find me one man that was able to talk to an angel and know he was an angel and just talk to him face to face like nothing else. No, it don't happen that way, brother, sister. Neither did it with a prophet. He's sitting there wondering what in the world is going on, scared to death. But then the voice came and said, "Fear not." Come on now. Let me keep reading here. "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. And when he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, then he laid it upon my mouth and said, 'Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged.'"
Amen. Amen.
Isaiah had to believe that, and he did. Why? He proved it in the next verse. Before he sees these mighty angels, he sees God in his train, and he says, "I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm not even worthy. My people, not even worthy. Where I came from is not worthy. We're a bunch of heathens." But then the angel took the tongues and took a live coal, not some dead form of religion. He took a live Holy Ghost and burned off his lips. He said, "I've cleansed this. I've purged it. Your iniquity's gone." And then he raised up, and the Lord had a question. "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I. Send me.'" Glory to God. God was trying to call his prophet. The prophet, in order to be used of God, had to recognize his condition. But he had an atonement waiting for him. God brought him to condemnation to bring the atonement to take it away.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And why did he take it away? That was his servant, and he was ready to use him.
Amen.
Glory to God. We think, "Oh, God called me, but I got to wait 20 years before I can do anything for him. God saved me, but I'm not really saved until I get this in line and that thing, and I'll do this. And then once I got all these works around, then God can use me." That ain't how it works, brother. If God calls you, you're qualified. If God cleanses you, you're cleansed. That's why I can't stand when that spirit comes around. You need to learn to live in the blood. Quit vacationing in the blood. Live in the blood. When you do something wrong, get in the blood and stay there. You know what? You'll never break out of fellowship if you stay in the blood.
Amen.
Never. Because you'll do something wrong. God does not immediately leave you. Why? Because He chastises you. In order to chastise someone dead, you got to be there. You can't spank somebody you ain't there. He'll give you a little chastisement. And if you'll heed that, you won't break fellowship. That's right. And that's the way God wants us, brother, sister. Brother Branham getting down talking about the presence of God being such a fearful thing and stuff. But he says this. Oh, I love it. It says, "Repentant sinners, though, don't have any fear." Repentant sinners, though, don't have any fear. But if you're a hard-hearted sinner, you got plenty to fear about. And if you're a faithless sinner, you've got even more to fear about, because the Bible says the unbelieving don't have a chance. He that believeth not is condemned already. You automatically are condemned. But he that is a repentant sinner and believes God's promise, he says this, doesn't have any fear. Oh no, a sinner that will repent, he knows that there's a bloody sacrifice waiting to stand in his place. That's what gives him the consolation. I've seen the glory of God. I felt His power. I know the touch of His hand. I know the touch of His chastisement. I know that He's God. And I know I'm undone, but there is one standing there for me.
Amen.
Amen. There's one who stands there and says, "Father, lay all of His iniquity upon me, because He stood for me down on the earth." Hallelujah. Then I've walked up to the throne of God boldly, having grace in my heart to know it's not by good works, but by His mercy I'm saved. Not what I could do, what I could join, what could I could say, but it's by His grace that He saved me.
Amen.
We're talking about enduring. Those that endure will reap a harvest. So I'm here to tell you right now, if you're lazy and you don't want to do nothing for God, it'll be just like the lazy man in the Bible. He went to go find his vineyard. Solomon went out there and it was had weeds all over. The fences broke down. That's exactly what your experience will look like. Oh, you'll have weeds. You have something to show for it. You have some kind of experience or some kind of this or that, but go and try to eat it one time. That's what you prove if you've got real wheat or you got weeds. And you know what? You don't need any work to get weeds. I tell you what, you get some just regular dirt. Tear it all up, make it just dirt, and leave it alone. I give you a month, you've got a whole thing of weeds. But if you want a harvest, if you want a crop, you've got to endure. You've got to get out there. You've got to dig trenches. Come on, where do we dig trenches? On our knees. We dig trenches. Make these holes. Remember Elijah when they were about to die? He said, dig some holes because God's going to send water into there. Amen. But if there ain't no hole for the water to go in, it'll just run all off.
Right.
God help us. That's why you need to have that personal experience with God. Living in His presence, that'll get your roots nice and deep so when the water comes, it actually has somewhere to go.
Right.
A lot of people love the water, but they don't like it to make a crop. That's the problem. It's God did not just send blessings just to do it. He did it to bring a crop.
Amen.
Amen. And He wants that seed down there to grow. And if you want it to grow, you've got to endure.
Right.
Hallelujah. You've got to go when it's hot out.
Right.
When everybody else wants to sit inside and watch TV, you get down and pray.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When everybody wants to talk about so-and-so, you say, no, let's pray for so-and-so. Come on. When everybody's worried about eating that so much, you say, maybe we should fast and pray one time. I said that in a message, church. Check that out. It's the truth anyhow. I think the Son of God said one time, this devil that I'm dealing with don't come out but by prayer and fasting. Why? Because you got to be in a channel to deal with devils. That's right. Because if you're not, they'll whip you every time. You can't beat a devil. Christ did.
Amen.
You can't, but Christ did. And if Christ is in me, then I can do it because He's doing it through me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody's going to believe that. There will be a bride without spot or wrinkle because she read the Word and she believed it for herself and she wasn't afraid to go to the presence of God because the blood was all over her.
Amen.
And how do you know it? You've got the Holy Ghost. That's the witness. That's the identification. That's the life that came from the blood. Am I talking to myself today? That is for the bride of Christ and no one else. And it ought to do something to us. When we go and look at our field that's been going on, it's 50 years since the prophet, but there's fruit coming up.
Amen.
There's fruit coming up. There's souls getting right with God. There's people backslid for 20, 40 years, I don't care, coming back to the Lord. There's young people giving their heart. Come on now. There's signs. There's healing. There's prophecy. There's vision. God is showing the fruit of His labor.
Amen.
And it would do for a real farmer who knows. He gets a little excited. It's almost harvest time. I almost get to reap what I've sown so long. And you think you're enduring long? Imagine being God. Jesus prayed 2,000 years ago, let them be one as you and I, Father, are one. He's still waiting for that to happen. Well, I prayed last week and God didn't hear me. Get over that. Wait on the Lord, I say. Wait, He'll be there. That's right. And if you got faith, it will endure. The Bible, I'm going to read a bunch of scriptures. So if you want to turn, you're going to have to turn fast. But Matthew 24. Hallelujah. Matthew 24. Like I said, I got a lot. Because when we come to really what we want to reap, I mean, I appreciate God healing us. I do. I appreciate Him fulfilling our needs, even, you know, financially, domestically, relationship. I mean, all that's good. But there's one thing I want to reap. That's eternal life.
Amen.
There's one thing I want to know, that I'm over there.
Yes.
That's right. And I'm going back because that's where I came from. And I want to reap that seed. Well, the only way to reap that seed is to plant that seed. That's right. So quit planting other seeds if you expect to make it there. You need to plant that I'm a son of God. Amen. That means I've got enduring quality. Hallelujah. I don't need pesticides. I'm the original seed. Amen. I don't care where all these weeds come from. I'll outsprout it. Oh, they might grow up one day real fast and all this stuff and try to make me feel bad because they had this great experience, but then they backslid 2 days later.
Uh-huh.
I've seen too much of that. That doesn't prove anything. That's right. It's your life. It's the seed, the Word. That's what it takes. Now, the Word has signs, okay? You can't tell me your flower and ain't got no green on you.
Right. Right.
And don't have a blossom in these things and brown and starchy and dead, okay? There's something wrong. You ain't got life, all right?
Right, amen.
Hallelujah. You say, well, all the life's going to the seed, but what are you then? Yeah. That's the point. It's all come to me now. Amen. It's all come to the bride. Everything else has died, but I'm not.
Amen.
Because I'm the Word.
Amen,
amen, brothers. When it talks about Jesus coming, he said he'll be a tender plant growing out of a dry root. So don't give me no excuses why you can't grow. He was growing out of dry ground. Why? He had water in himself. He didn't need some revival. He was the revival. He didn't need these big-time evangelists or these special, just, you know what I'm saying, bunch of hoopla. He believed it. And when there was a need of healing, even he was discouraged, had a headache, didn't matter. I'm talking about the Son of God now, getting discouraged. Oh, sure, he had to deal with what you and I dealt with.
Right.
Come on now. He had to deal with rejection. He had to deal with frustration, all these things. But he had a tender plant growing. He had a life in him, and it would always give out needs when he had need of it.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Matthew 24, he says in verse 12, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures shall the end. Until the end, the same shall be saved, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Jesus says right here, those that keep the word to the end shall be saved. So we go, and I see many Christians, again, they won't go read the quotes. Oh, I said it. They won't go read the other scriptures and say, I'm going to endure. I'm going to be a real Christian. I'm going to kick this out. I'm going to do this. I'm ready to serve the Lord. And they fail, because they don't go read the rest of the scripture. Let's just take that thought of shall be saved. What did Jesus just say there? He that endures shall be saved. Can the scripture contradict itself? Absolutely not. So any other time the Bible says that will save us, it has to mean the same thing Jesus is saying here. So let's do that for a little bit. Actually, real quick here, Paul says this, 2 Timothy 2:3. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." This was a requirement. You've got to endure. You've got to be lasting. Well, how am I going to do that, brother? Here we go. Mark 16:16. I got a whole bunch, so get going. Hallelujah. I actually had to write some more down. I was in there getting all inspired in the office. Praise the Lord. Thank God for His Word. So God's asked us to endure to be saved. Mark 16:16 says, "And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Hallelujah. Go to John 10:9. So I'm just going to read through these and we're going to put it all together here. John 10:9. Jesus speaking, he says, "I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture." Acts 2:22. Acts 2, I said that wrong. 2:21 is what the one verse I want to read here. You all know this one. "And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So far we've got that we need to endure. We need to believe. We need to be baptized. We need to be in the door. We need to be in the name of the Lord, calling upon Him. And that wasn't just one time. Like I said, I'm going to read some more here. Go to Acts 15, verse 11. Let's just read these real quick. Hallelujah. Acts 15, 11. "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." So now we've got that we need to endure. We need to believe. We need to be baptized. We need to be in the door. We need to be calling on the name of the Lord. And now it needs to be by the grace of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
16:30. Actually, yeah, verse 30. "And brought them out," this is talking the jailer here, Paul, "and he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." So now not only is the salvation for that man that believes, that endures, that is baptized, that goes in the door, that goes on the name of the Lord, but it also goes to his house.
Amen.
Amen. Don't you never give up on the promise of God? Those souls are by predestination on you. They're on you, brother, sister, but you're a faithful watchman. who's watching what the devil's doing, and you've got a word to tack him out every time. It doesn't matter. Don't be afraid. That's how you apply the token. Speak what the word says. Amen. They're going to reject it. Speak it again. It's your promise. Don't let go. Don't let down. Don't give the devil the victory. You're saved.
Amen.
You're in the door. You can go in and out because he's going to be there for you. Mary said, I got you sealed in, so go ahead, have pasture, it's just fine. Go ahead and get every promise, it's all yours. You're not stealing from God, he gave it to us.
Amen.
Glory! Hallelujah, I got one more, I think. Let me find Acts 22. This is Paul recounting his conversion, I believe. And I love these real quick here, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. These scoffers of the message who will come by and say, well, when Brother Branham told this story, it was a little bit different than when he said this story, and this detail is different here. And then they did this here, and he said this in 52, but he said this in 64. Go read every account Paul does of his conversion. They've all got different details. They do. You do it. Go ahead and try it. You go tell me if he gives. He said, well, why did he say that back there? He wasn't led to. Wasn't free. He wasn't led to share that detail there. And he said, well, I can't figure this out. It ain't for you to figure it out. It's the truth. Amen. And I trust Brother Branham's word over all these scoffers. I'll give him that. Amen. That's for sure. When I see people, I feel so bad for them. Their whole life anymore. I've met these people. Their whole life is to prove the message is wrong. You think, you know, for instance, Mormonism. I studied it for like a day or two. And I came to the conclusion, this isn't what the scripture taught. I don't go checking it up, Brother Ken, every week to figure out a new way why it's wrong. I've already got the evidence.
Right.
I can lay it out and say, the Bible said this, and the Book of Mormon says this. You give me the answers. Just real quick, in case you think Mormonism ain't all that bad, if you got dark skin, you're cursed.
Right.
Go read it. God put it on them so that the white delicate some people would know who's got the curse on them. Right out of the Book of Mormon. I'll go find it. I got it at home if you really want that. But the point is, it shows what influence they're under. If they if they're trying to prove wrong and they said they got the evidence, then why are you still looking for new stuff? It should be over, right? But that just goes to show there's a demon influence trying to corrupt the true Word of God, and they'll go to any means. They did it in the day of Jesus. They paid people to lie and make up a story that the disciples moved the stone and took Jesus' body and went and ate it. They paid to have that lie spread abroad. And then John comes around and says, you hear this story that everyone in the nation says is true. But I'm here to tell you what really happened. Oh yeah, you're already a Christian. Of course you got to come up with something. You believe this nonsense. Of course you've got the evidence that Brother Branham really meant the truth and you didn't have the whole story. Of course, because you're a message believer. That's the only reason. No, it's the truth.
Amen.
It's the truth, brother,
amen.
Sister.
Amen.
Free sermon today. Glory to God. I praise his name. I just got so much to praise him for. Verse 7, and I fell upon the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, well, why would he feel that way? He's the messenger to the Gentiles. A man in the presence of God recognizes he's a sinner.
Amen.
You'll even find later when God is trying to send Paul to Rome. Go look it up. He says, but Lord, I was there when they stoned Stephen.
Right.
I held their coats. I watched him die. That's go to the saint of God that prayed that I wouldn't have that sin on me. How am I worthy to go? God completely ignores him. Says, get to Rome.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You're not being humble by doubting.
Right.
You're not being humble by doubting. You're being humble by believing it and accepting that, yes, I am this, but yes, he is this. Yes, I'm full of sin. He's full of righteousness. Yes, I deserve to die, but he died for me.
Amen.
And when he was on the cross, hallelujah, I was in him.
Amen.
When he said, let judgment fall upon him, I was already there being judged.
Amen.
There's no account to come up. There's no sin he left out. He knew them all for all time and eternity.
Right.
Because the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Glory to God.
Amen.
I fell. Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now read along with me, please. Acts 22:8. And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Oh, yeah, Paul, sure. Sure, you had a voice speak to you. That's what they thought. Come on now. Some heard a voice, some said that thundered, some said this or that. But the prophet had the word. And the prophet's the one that's right. I don't care what their opinions were. I'll stick with what Paul said about it. And I don't care what this minister said about Brother Branham or Ern Bassler, who backslid and let his wife cut her hair and everything else, and all these other ministers had to do after Brother Branham was gone. But I'm staying with the prophet.
Amen.
Glory to God. Only they that endure shall reap a harvest. Amen. Verse 10. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go to Damascus, and there it shall be told of thee all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away your sins, thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother, how am I going to endure? Get in Christ. Amen. Come through the door. Believe. How do I do that? I want to call the name of the Lord. I want to be in heavenly places. Believe. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Be identified in Him and stay there. Stay there in that enduring presence. He's the one that can endure it. He's the one who can withstand the devil every time, every place, any trial. He's the master of all circumstances.
Amen.
Glory to God. He is our refuge. The name is Proverbs 18:10. You all know this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it. Now be careful. A lot of times we sing and are saved. The Bible says and is saved. Present tense all the time. No matter what happens tomorrow, I'm still safe. That's such a big difference. We think, I got saved today, but I'm lost tomorrow. No, if you're in the name of the Lord, you're in a strong tower, and you're safe. You're living in safety. It's always there. I don't care who tries to bombard this. This ain't no weak tower. It's a strong tower.
Amen.
And just in case the devil brings in a flood, he can raise the tower higher, brother. He can raise a standard against it. And in every age, God help us. Hallelujah. I'm just so inspired. I'm just praying to get in it. God, in every age, saw the devil's flood. And just when it looked like it would flood out the church, he raised the standard. It's right over here, brother, sister. He just raised the standard. And the devil bring in another flood, he'd raise the standard. He'd raise the standard. Until now, it's not even going to be there. It's going to float right off. And no matter how much flood comes, you're never going to touch this. I'm going to take him off before you get him. Could you imagine the devil seeing that? Seeing the top of the pyramid thinking, I only got a few more feet. I only got a few more trials. I only got a few more of those radical people down there in defiance to get, and I got them all. And just before he can get there, he actually goes out. Remember, because iniquity, it'll cover the whole earth. That's right. Remember, that whole circle went to black. But that lie got took it out of there. He was so close. He almost had it. And the devil don't mind lining the devil up and watching him get knocked down. He lets him do it. He let Goliath get up there and say his boast. Now, he let the devil feel he had the upper hand, but he came on the scene in the evening time. Said, I still got a David.
Amen.
I got a little ruddy boy that's already killed a bear and a lion. He'll take care of this boy, no problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Praise Jesus.
So let's talk on the other end of things for a minute. You say, brother, it's hard for me to believe. Excuse me. Brother, it's really hard for me to endure. Well, I'm here to tell you, brother, you're either lying to yourself or you're not really in the Word yet. Because the name of the Lord, thus saith the Scriptures of God, is a strong tower.
Amen.
Righteous, get in there. The what righteous? There ain't no righteous. No, not one. There was only one man righteous. That was Jesus Christ, the just one. The one that Ananias said, you know, Paul, you're going to have to see this man. And he saw him in his glory. Hallelujah. I'm already losing my voice. Excuse me, you got to see this one man. And he has made the way for the rest of us. Call on his name. Why do you think baptism had to be restored, brother, sister?
Was God just doing it for fun? No, the standard was so low that the floods of the devil is about to wipe out all the believers. And God said, no, they got to be called by name or they'll never have the faith to get out of this one. But God is not short concerning his promises. He shows up right on time. Glory to God. And even though Jesus is 4 days late, he's still right on time. You think you had trial, brother, sister? I don't think, I don't think your brother had to die. And you calling up Jesus, you sending him letters, you texting him, you getting on his Facebook, pastor don't get back to you. You're only saying that because you're a pastor. No, it's just people's attitude. And Mary and Martha, they were trying to get a hold of Jesus. But Jesus had a revelation they didn't have. He knew Lazarus would die, but God had already heard him that he was going to raise from the dead. So he let this go on. Why? To test their faith. And it looked like all hope was gone. We think death is a sign that all hope is gone. You know, and in the natural it is. There's nothing else after someone dies. It's over, naturally speaking. But Jesus don't dwell in the natural. He said, you know, oh yeah, I believe. Martha came up and said, I believe Lazarus will raise. He's a good boy and all. He said, no, I am the resurrection. Amen. I am the life. He comes saying, I can't overcome. I can't this. He's still the resurrection. He's still the life today. And if he can conquer even death, he can conquer anything that causes death, which is sin. Amen. When sin has conceived, it brings forth death. So we're having a hard time overcoming something. Remember, the Son of God stood one time and said, Lazarus, come forth. Yes. Man dead 4 days. Come out of there wiggling, I'm sure, with all his cloths on. Said, get me out of this stuff. Get me out of this old denomination. Get your unbelief off me. I try to believe you Pharisees, but I'm done. I got raised from the dead. I'm sticking with this word.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah. Maybe y'all need to use your voice a little bit. Give mine a break. Hallelujah. You love the Lord today.
Amen.
Amen. 1963, the sign of this time. Y'all better be praying. I'm telling you that right now. This is really strange. Thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, Americans, if we would only respect the gift that God has sent us, the Holy Ghost, we wouldn't have to worry about Russian astronauts and atomic bombs and things. Well, that's our security, is Christ. See, he is our security. But the trouble is, he sends us gifts and we laugh it to scorn, just like they did. That's the reason we are bound for judgment. It has to strike. It's just God is no respecter of persons. Let me read you another one, The Uncertain Sound, 1961. There's no more national security. Let me stop right now. That was 61.
Yep.
We're 2015, and we're still trying to trust some sort of national security that they're going to pass. Excuse me. They're going to pass legislation that makes it easier for it to be Christians. Come on now. We believe this nonsense. We're going to fight it off, and we're going to brazen patriotism. Go ahead, but it's done.
Right.
I'm sorry, brother, sister. It's done. There is no more truth to this nation's system.
Right.
It's run out. And you know why? You know what more than anything is the way that we're treating Israel. It's done. That's the only line of blessing. The prophet says many things like that, that the only reason God's even letting this nation stand is because they stood for Israel. But as we begin to pull away, as we begin to accuse them of things, that'll bring just the last crush on the totem pole. It'll fall down and be over. There's no national security left. There's no reason to fall out about politics and all this stuff that I've seen so many people do. I think I'd rather see you put a quote up than to put some other politician statement or some video what they say, how they're going to make great America great again. They might in the way you don't want, though. Oh, they'll get the economy going again, but you don't know what they did to do it. Sold you out. That's right. You think you own your house? No, you don't. You think that car's yours? They'll come and show you one day. Nope.
Yep.
We got the papers right here.
Right.
Oh, I thought we were rich again. Nope. Sorry.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Right.
That's why I'm just going to leave, Brother Ken. I'm done fussing down here. There's a kingdom that cannot be moved. There's a kingdom that has always stood, and that's what it's time to invest in. God, help us to invest into that kingdom. Where is it, brother? It's in you. And that's secure. Amen. Excuse me. There's no more national security. When they tell you we're secure, that we can do this or do that, they're mistaken. dig a hole in the ground. Some of this here national defense stuff. And run into the ground. And that bomb will blow a hole in the ground 150 feet deep. 100 miles square. Well, if you were 5,000 feet under the earth, you'd be in the lava. And if you have 5,000 feet under the earth, the shockwave would break every body. So you can't dig down and get away from it. There's no way at all to escape it. There's only one shelter that we can get under. And that shelter's not made of steel. It's made of feathers under his wings. That's the only shelter. Don't go under. Go up above it. That's right. Let me just be a little eagle. Little eaglet, a little Messiah. Get up on the Messiah and get my talents in that word. Say, I'm trying to endure. No, just get a hold of him. Let him endure for you. He'll get his wings set up there. That Old and New Testament, isn't that right? With all of us is lying right up on him. Don't worry, he can hold on. You just hold on with your faith. Let him do the flying. Let him do the trials. Let him do the navigating. You just hold on to the word. Amen. It'll get you through it. Why? Everything's falling apart below us, but we're way up here. Oh, I love the one time on an airplane. Oh, I loved it. What? You're up there and you think everything's peachy glory up here. Come to realize right below us, there's a thunderstorm like no other. But I'm above it. And everybody says, well, we live in the same town. Well, you live in defiance, but I live in heavenly places in defiance. It's the same spot geographically, but I'm way up here above all this. Amen. So yeah, your job's falling apart. This is gone and our houses are gone and all this, but I got a mansion. Amen. I got a mansion with my name that Jesus went and built for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm living in the benefits of that. He'll take care of all this. That's fine. Hallelujah. Even if there is a tornado come right through here, it'll just seem to bypass right around me. That's all right. Amen. Hallelujah. Long ways to go. That was all free, brother, sister. I'm about time to wrap up. But that's hallelujah. I don't care about that no more. God needs his bride ready. He wants the bride ready. He ain't interested in fancy sermons. He ain't interested with us figuring out how a theophany is different than this, and this is really what this means. And oh, we'll tickle some ears and get converts and fighting over this stuff. Who cares?
Amen.
The point is, are you going?
Amen.
When he calls, are you going with him? Yes, I am, because I'm the same name.
Amen.
God will repay us, brother, sister. Let me go back. I'm just going to have to. I want to get through some of this glaze. Can you give me a little bit more time this morning? But we already know if a man sows, he'll reap, no matter what it is. If you reap to your flesh, brother, sister, be patient with the Lord, because you have to reap that. So don't get all discouraged. Don't say, I'm not a son. No, you reap the wrong thing. You sowed the wrong thing. You're going to reap the wrong thing. But if you sow in the Spirit, you automatically will reap life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
He said, well, how will we reap? He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Amen.
That's why, excuse me, mercy, Lord Jesus, thank you, Jesus. When Jesus was, they asked him, you know, how should we pray and all these things? He said, remember the unjust judge, how they keep coming and coming and coming and keep staying there and keep knocking and keep seeking. And God is not negligent. He'll revenge his own elect. He'll be there right on time. Peter picked it up and said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but one day is as 1,000 years. So get over it. That's, you know, you're asking for something to happen and God's time, they ain't 1 second. And we just make them a little vending machine, don't we? We just pop in corners and say, come on, God, come on. That ain't what God wants. He wants a relationship. That's the whole reason you were made, is to fulfill God's need of a friend.
Amen.
Of a son.
Amen.
Of a bride.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
To think God has a need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, he could have done it some other way, but God knows the truth. So why would he just build robots that have to love him? There's no satisfaction in that. God's not stupid. He knows the truth. So he gives people, he gives a man a free moral agency. So he knows that he actually loves him, because he does. And he chooses to. Hallelujah. If we faint not, to pray always and to faint not. How do you faint? You doubt. It's not just about getting tired and things, but I think that's a big curse here in America. We make that a big old excuse all the time. I'm just too tired. We're all tired. And the Lord's really tired. All right. He's been working since this world got here.
Right.
He worked 6 days and said the seventh day he rested. He was tired.
Right.
He's God. He does what he wants to. Don't give me this. Y'all, your ecclesiastical thought of God. God is a man like you and I.
Yes.
Not because he had to, because he wanted to.
Amen.
Amen. Don't faint, Christian friend. Stay on the word. You'll reap a harvest. It will come. It will speak. Though it tarry, it's not. You don't just wait on it. I think it's a promise of Isaiah. Tells us to be good to the household, and or to be good to all men, and especially those of the household of faith. Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And why is that? Because of what Jesus said. If you do this to the least of these, my little ones, you did it to me. And you give me Christians that believe that they'll love one another. Why? Because we get all the selfishness out and said, if my Lord wants something done, I'll do it. Now, the Bible also told the man to treat us that way. Come on, the Bible teaches that a man should treat his wife that way. He that loves his wife loves himself. You love your own flesh. The Bible tells a woman to obey her husband that way, like it's the Lord. The Bible tells the children to obey their parents as unto the Lord. Amen. We're supposed to treat it all as unto the Lord, because that's the only way to sow the right seed. If you do it for selfish reasons, you've sown the wrong seed. It's hybrid. You say, well, it's a promise of God, but you hybrid it with malice. You hybrid it with, if I give this, I should get this back. That ain't the way it works. You can sow all the flesh you want. It will never reap a good harvest. But if you sow the Spirit, glory to God, it'll always bring back the fruit of the Spirit, which is what you should want, brother, sister. Too many of us try to serve God so we can get $1 million. Give me love. Give me joy. Give me peace. Give me long-suffering. Give me patience, gentleness, meekness, brotherly kindness, all those. I want that in my life. Take all my money. Let me be a real man of God. Hallelujah. And that's why Paul was getting mad about this. We've already talked about it, how they come in and started probing all these doctrines in the Galatian church. And he said, you know why? You know why they're telling you to get circumcised? It's not because they believe it. It's because they don't even do the law themselves. That's what he just said there. He said they compel you to be circumcised, and they're not even doing the law themselves. But why? So that they can say that you're their convert. So they can glory in your flesh. See, I got them circumcised. See that? See, I got them believing the right doctrine. I got them doing this or that. They're trying to glory in somebody else's flesh. But that's why he already said, every man bears their own burden anyways. So it doesn't matter. If you don't got the glory of God in your life, you're at blame.
Amen.
But God forbid that I should glory in anything besides the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. Where the world is crucified to me and I to the world is crucified, brother, sister.
Amen.
It's dead. I'm not in that world no more. If I've been born again, I'm a new creature.
Amen.
That's why he says there, nothing of the circumcision doesn't matter. Nothing of uncircumcision, but a new creature.
Yes.
You have to be a new creature in Christ. Then you can endure.
Yes.
Then you can sow the word and wait on the harvest. Why? Because you're a new creature. And there's a law to that one. Hallelujah. Listen now. And as many as walk according to this rule. What's the rule? Get born again. What's the rule? Be a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. That's the rule of Christianity.
Amen.
It ain't about just coming to church and just doing this doctrine and just doing all these works. It's about being a creation. And if you're not a new creation, you're wasting your time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. Why is they got peace? Because God's made the atonement for their sins. And they know it. Why? He's accepted them back in the beloved. You can't be born again if you don't have a seed.
Amen.
Glory to God. Whew.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Somebody is going to believe this word, brother, sister.
Amen.
There's someone who's going to overcome every devil. Every devil, because Christ will endure. He that endures the end shall be saved. Well, if I get baptized, I'm saved. That means I'm enduring. He that's in the door shall be saved. That means I'm enduring. Come on now. He that believes shall be saved. That means I'm enduring. He that has received the grace of God means that I shall endure.
Amen.
Glory to God. And I believe that's why Paul got to the end here. Paul knew where he stood. Paul had given him the word. He said, I've not shown to declare to you the whole gospel of God. I've shown you everything. There's going to be grievous wolves come in, but no blood will be upon my hand because I told you the truth.
Amen.
And you're sitting here fussing about all this doctrine. I've laid it out again. And he gets to the end of Galatians. He says, from henceforth, let no man trouble me. It means leave your doctrines out the door. I've already proved it wrong. Leave your backslidden life, your backslidden church, your worthless gospel that doesn't get anybody saved, anybody healed, no delivering power. Everybody just sits there and just stares. We about done all, aren't we great believers? And just we're all sick, we're all miserable, we all can't get the victory. Get rid of that trash. I'm done. From henceforth, let no man trouble me.
Amen.
For I bear in my body the evidence of this gospel, the marks of the Lord Jesus. And not just the glory, but the shame. Not just the power, but the reproach. I've got a life, I'm a prisoner. I've lived for Jesus Christ. Let no man trouble me. I've got the fruit to prove it.
Amen.
That's a man that knows where he stands. And I thank God our prophet got to the same place. He said, I don't care anymore. I've got to bring this message. I got a message that God's given me to give to the people, and it must be given.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I already told you, I'm just going to preach again a little bit longer here. But God, Brother Branham, God wants us to know about the rapture. And if Brother Branham would have been just courteous to men that didn't want him around no more, come on.
Yep.
And I told you, Brother Tom Diller and Sister Mary were sitting there, heard them rattling pans and saying they want to get out. They're knocking forks on the table, ready to go. But God saw his bride. She needs to know about this rapture. You go find that quote. Go read the rapture, I challenge you. And go find a quote where he says, the sister or that woman back there thinks that she needs the room or something. We'll try to hurry along real quick and look at all the stuff that unfolded after that. Why God loved you and I.
Amen.
He let the prophet suffer rebuke. He let Brother Branham stand there and preach the rapture message as people walked out of the assembly.
Uh-huh.
Just leaving. How would you feel if that happened to a man of God? You must be off the word. Why are the people leaving?
Right.
Because those that endure shall reap the harvest.
Amen.
The gospel came to Jesus, hallelujah, when it came harvest time. He had a whole bunch. He had 70 ministers. He had 12 apostles. He had a whole congregation standing out there. What did he say? What are you going to say? When I said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. You can't understand this. They left. 70 were left over and said, man, this is kind of hard, but maybe we can stick this out a little bit. He said, well, what about you all? You think you're so high and mighty. What are you going to say when you see me back at the right hand of the Father where I came from?
Yes.
You got to remember what they thought. They thought, oh, this is a good prophet. He's a good Jew. He's a nice man and things. But, you know, we're a little bit better than he is. They did that with Brother Branham. They say, oh, yeah, he's got the power of God and things. He's got some gifts and everything, but I've got a doctorate. I've been in Pentecostal domination before he was born and all these things, and it didn't matter because he was the seventh angel.
Right.
Jesus Christ was the Son of God.
Right.
He said, what are you going to say? When they left, there was 12 still standing there. Hallelujah. And he turned to them and says, what do you say? What are you going to do? Peter could have got just as frustrated as he did other times, said, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do, but something stirred on Peter. Why? It was that seed in him that could endure. It was Christ in Peter that endured and says, I don't know where we're going to go. I don't understand what's going on, but there's one thing, sure, you have the words of eternal life, and if I leave you, I've lost it all.
Glory.
Hallelujah. We think it's so hard to serve God. We think that trial was hard, but I'm sure Peter, down a little later in life, he sure appreciated what the Lord did for him. Oh, he might have invested. We know. I'll just read it to you real quick here. Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 tribes, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has forsaken houses, everyone, brother, sister, he didn't just say it to the apostles, to every believer, who has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Malachi 3:10 says this, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Why do you think these people are going to seed too early? Why do you think they were trying to go to seed back in 60s, 70s, 80s? We just said 2000, they thought it was over. Because they didn't get into the blessings of God, and their seed came to be too fast. You can get ahead of God, brother, sister. I say wait on the Lord today.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And all nations shall call you blessed. Glory to God. The Lord says, you know, we can reap good, but we reap bad. God is not unjust. He will give to every man according to his work. Brother, sister, amen. Well, you say, well, you just got to tell me it wasn't works. He'll give it to every man according to his works. And I'm not bringing mine.
Right.
I'm bringing Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to Jesus.
Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Glory to God. Let's stand together. Thank the Lord Jesus. Hey, that wait. I'm going to say that's F. Yeah, you're going to have to.
Not to rely on the presence of the King. Brother, sister, I love you with all my heart. This has been one of the hardest services I've ever had to preach here. Is there anybody else picking up on those spirits? It's in the church, brother, sister. This isn't right. I'm not one to just say, oh, we had a good service, and it was great, and the devil had his way. No, I don't believe that. Brother, sister, if you're doubting this promise, you need to repent. If you're not living right, you need to repent. Not half-hearted, not, well, it's okay. No, it's not okay. If there's any soul here, say, Lord, that's me. I'm just wrong. For whatever reason, brother, sister, don't put up a front with God. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, we sang victory is mine, but I didn't bring no victory today. I just left it at home. God bless you, saints. I appreciate those sincere hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, brother, sister, as you confess those things, you need to stop. If you're a doubtful person, stop doubting. If you've got sin in your life, you need to stop doing those things, brother. How am I going to do that? Get in Christ. If you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I would do it today. If you still doubt in the Word, I would repent today. If you don't seem to have anything to give back to God, I would repent now because God's invested a whole lot in you. Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. Now break through that sin barrier. What is sin? Unbelief. You need to break through that. Say, I'm not going to be this way. Lord, you've made the way for me. The angels come with His live coal. He's come with the Word. He sent the Word today. Remember, the angel's a messenger. God has sent a message to you even this afternoon to get that sin out of your life, to bring the hot coal of the Holy Ghost by the Word of God, to sear your lips off from all that iniquity. Not sin, iniquities, brother and sister. You knew better. God knew you knew better, but He still made an atonement. And if a prophet of God could trust an angel standing there, how much more should you trust the blood of God's own Son? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Allow the devil to be exposed in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on now, brother, sister. Some of you raise your hands and then you just go ahead and back down off and let the devil push you right back where you were before you got here. You can't do that. You can't do that. It's time to be a man of faith. Paul said, endure hardness. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. The hardest thing for a man to do is repent. The hardest thing for a man to do is to fess up and say, I was wrong. I see people cold-hearted, still living in sin and can't seem to be moved on by the power of God no more. That's a sad shape to be in, brother, sister. But you're not that case. I see you raising your hands. I see you getting your heart right, putting that out before the Lord. Confession's good for the soul. Don't be halfway about it. If it's hidden in there, let it come out. Let it come out. Just give it to the Lord now. That's why we raise our hands. Surrender. Thank you, Jesus. God is not mocked, brother, sister. We will reap what we sow. Thank you, Jesus. But see, that's a blessing if you sow the right thing. That's the most glorious thing in the world. Sow into Christ, brother. When should I start? Today. Right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, have your way in this service. Praise your name. Praise your name. Brother, sister, this bride is not going to skip in by the last hair. She's going to be a victorious army without spot or wrinkle. You need to raise your expectation of what God wants to do in your life. Get up there and believe that now. Believe that for yourself. Hallelujah. When you raise your hands, do you mean it? Then accept it. Don't wait on something else. Say, Lord, it's mine. It's mine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the truth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, make me an enduring Christian. Make me a man of God, a daughter of God that'll stand for the Word all the time. Lord, I confess it, that that's the promise to me, that that's what I am, that's what I identify with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't let your love wax cold, brother, sister. Especially your love towards God. You're ashamed to cry again when you're getting right. You need to repent. That's not how you get confession to the soul. You got to mean it. You got to mean it. You got to lay it down. You got to say, Lord, I'm done with this man. Look, brother, sister, we're to repent every day. You're supposed to die daily. Thank the Lord Jesus. And too many of us came to church alive today. We packed in work. We packed in complex. We packed in doubt and fear and tiredness and apathy towards God. And I'll let somebody else worship God today. I'll just stand here. We packed all that in the building this morning. Are you willing to repent and be honest with God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, but you promised that there's a man standing for me. There's an atonement there that will wash me clean. And I can have the joy of the Lord back again in my life. I can be the Christian that I want to be in my heart. I can be that way. I don't have to be a hypocrite no more. I can serve you in sincerity and truth. I can see my soul washed clean. I can raise my hands free of condemnation because I know I've been accepted back in the Beloved. Hallelujah. So all I did was raise my hands. That's the difference between life and death. The devil's kept so many hands down that needed to confess and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And that's all what it took for the Lord to come on the scene. In the Garden of Eden, there was two sinners standing there. And all he was waiting for is somebody to say, I'm sorry, Lord. And he couldn't find a man that would do it. They were hiding in the bushes, saying, I'm okay. I got enough religion over here. No, you don't. Once you get in the presence of God, you'll throw that in the trash. Hallelujah. Well, don't hurt me to miss church. Don't hurt me to not read my Bible. Don't hurt me not to pray. Don't hurt me to smoke. Don't hurt me to cuss. Don't hurt me to feed on the things of the world. Brother, sister, repent. It's too late for that foolishness. I got my hands raised too, brother, sister. I'm not proud. If there's anything I'm boasting is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to believe it. You've got to believe that grace till it makes effects in your life. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, I'm signing up. I'm signing up. I'm part of your army. I'm signing into the ranks. I'm expecting a battle, but I know you're a man of war. Just like Joshua wasn't afraid. He was fearless. Even when the sun stood in his way. He said, son, you ain't got no power over this promise. You stand there until I'm done. God will make the whole world stop for one sincere sister, for one sincere brother. Hallelujah. It's time to be right with God, brother, sister. Just lay in the presence of God. He's here now. You know that. Hallelujah. Yes, he's making us realize our sins, but why? Why, brother? So you don't have to leave that way. Don't do you no good to lie. The truth's the only thing that'll ever make you free. Hallelujah. I'm beginning to see that thing lift off. Come on, brother, sister. Don't hold back now. You're Christians. God needs you. He needs you. I can't go to your jobs. See, I'm not a pastor. I can't be in your house. I can't be a witness to your husbands. Come on now. Can't be a witness to your workers, your children. That's you, brother, sister. Hallelujah. Do what you feel led to, brother. I don't care. Don't get formal on God. We whisper too much when sometimes we need to say, Lord, help me. It's what that father said about his lunatic son. So he said he cried out. He said, Lord, help me. Take away my unbelief. I believe you, Lord. Help me. And God was faithful to come on the scene. He came and raised that lunatic son and gave him his mind back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you're doing fine, praise God, brother, sister. And you need to be praying for these others. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's not even 1:30. Can we give God some time to say, Lord, just comb through my soul. Comb through it, Lord. I've been cold towards you. I can say amen, brother, sister. I know what it's like. I hate it. I hate when I do that to God. When I get formal on Him. When I treat Him just like a wallflower. Well, Lord, it's nice you'd be here, but I don't really want to spend no time with you today. I'm going to go do this. God, forgive us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As the Holy Spirit's moving through every soul, this is really what we came to church for, brother, sister. Say, well, I want to see this. I want to see that work. I want Brother Andrew to have another vision with me. Quit basing your faith off that kind of stuff. God gives that as an encouragement, not as a means. The means is you believe. Hallelujah. I caught that thought. Don't do that, brother, sister. He's done it for just about every one of you anyhow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lay it down. Lay your whole life down on the altar. Say, Lord, I'm dead. I'm done. I don't want to be this way no more. Oh, praise God. Accept the word for yourself. You know what the word says. As we see that day approaching, we ought to be in the house of God as more and more and more. And that includes church, brother, sister. That includes your prayer closet. That includes when you're with brothers and sisters, time to quit dithering with things of the world. It's all right to have a little good time, but we're still Christians wherever we are. We need not to be ashamed. Oh, God, help us. Help us. I know the Word says I ought to pray at all times, but that's just too hard, brother. Get that spirit out of your life. Don't faint. Just about the time you go to reap a harvest, too many laborers start fainting. And by the time they get out there, you know what happened? All the fruit spoiled. They waited too long. Brother, don't be that way. Don't be like that. How can I know? Check the fruit out every day. Check it out every day. Say, Lord, I'm watching my life in your word. I know your spirit's the only thing that can fix this. But I'm trusting it, Lord. Brothers, it's time to get up for work and get praying. Hallelujah. How about we get off the internet and get to bed early, get off the TV and go to bed so we can pray. You all know we get tired because we do things of the world. That's why. The Lord gives strength to those that need it. The joy of the Lord, your strength, that worldly stuff will never fill that void up. Hallelujah. You're going to have to stick out. You might as well go ahead and do it. People ain't going to like what you're doing. They'll say you're too fanatical, you're religious, you're just crazy. It's time to get away from that. It's time to get away from letting those thoughts dictate our lives. We need to let the Word dictate our life. Beginning to feel that thing's lifting off. Praise God. Don't stop, brother, sister, until every stone is turned. Feel that sweetness of the Holy Spirit start moving. That's what He's waiting on, is for you to humble yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Let Him use you, brother, sister. Maybe that's what we're waiting on. Maybe that's what we're waiting on. Glory to God. Glory to God. I've done all I can, Lord. I'm just giving this little group to you. I see you working, Lord. Help us to just step our side with all our thoughts, all our unbelief, all of our doubts, all of our fears, all of our motives and objectives. Now let's just lay that down and say, Lord, I am wrong. You're right, Lord Jesus. Lord, come in my life like never before. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost, Saint of God, receive Him today, I pray. If you have, but you just need that surge, pray for it. Say, Lord, fill me anew. There's something wrong. Fill me anew. I've run empty. And I know that this is supposed to endure, Lord. It's not your fault, Jesus, it's mine. But Lord, you knew I'd do this. You already paid for it, and I believe it, and I receive it. I receive my pardon. I receive your grace, Lord, that'll save my soul. I receive your blood that'll make me whole, Lord, and make me what I ought to be. And I receive the Holy Ghost that you can use me, Lord. Because I can't do anything in my own spirit, but Lord, with your spirit, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Don't you feel that spirit begin to fall down on us? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you won't get this in denomination no more, brother, sister. You won't get this out in the world. This don't exist. He's here, though. It's his last call. It's his last call. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just do what he says, brother, sister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Worship him, praise him. Hallelujah. As he cleanses your soul, you hear that voice saying, I've made you whole. I've washed your lips. I've taken away your iniquity. I've purged you. You hear that voice shout back and say, who will go for us? Who will be a messenger of this life? Who will spread the gospel to those regions that nobody else will go? We thank God for missionaries across the seas, Brother Ernie and others. Brother, thank God. Brother from Nigeria, Brother Hike, and all these men of God that go out there. But brother, sister, God has sent you on a mission field. I don't know what he wants you to do, but it's for his glory. I know that. It's to stand on his word. It's to show the world that Jesus Christ lives. That he's not dead. He lives in my soul. Hallelujah. Let's believe it now. Let's commit our hearts to him dead. Just give me a C. Thank you, Lord. It's by faith that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. Hallelujah. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see the sun. It's by faith. Help us, Lord. I believe. Receive it. Yes, it's by faith I'll overcome. That includes today, brother.
It's by faith.
Yes.
Glory.
It's by faith that I believe. I believe it, Lord.
It's by faith.
That victory begin to rise in our hearts.
It's by faith.
And I've got the faith seed
that I believe.
I've got the quickening power.
It's by faith.
God gave it to me
that I receive. Oh, it's by faith.
Rise in victory, brother, sister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship him now. Say, Lord, it's true.
Oh, it's by faith that I believe. It's by faith.
Glory to God. Praise you, Lord.
It's by faith. Thank you.
your life before Him with the atonement all over it. Say, Lord, thank You. Thank You, Lord. You restored my soul. You restored my commission in life. Praise You, Lord Jesus. And Lord, all my starchiness, I'm leaving it out the door. All my coldness, all that formality towards You, all that sin, all that unbelief, Lord, I just leave it over there by faith. Lord, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to come to the house of God the way I'm supposed to, Lord. First, I'm going to get there. Second, I'm going to come pray in faith. Third, I'm going to say, Lord, I'm a vessel of honor for Your glory. Use me, Lord, that You might be glorified. Lord, when that word comes, Lord, I'm just opening my heart and saying, it's for me, Lord. It's for me. Feed my soul, Lord Jesus. When I go home, Lord, let all tear down the idols, Lord Jesus, and building up an altar to You. Just as Jacob did, he had to wrestle all night. But he got a new name. He built an altar to God. The God of Israel, He identified Himself with You, Lord, because You changed His name. God, help us to believe that with all our heart, that we're not erecting a God that is afar off to the unknown God. Lord, we don't do that. We erect Him to the one true living God, our husband, our father, our brother, our friend, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, establish Your kingdom just afresh as I feel Your presence doing it. Lord, coming through to every soul that's here. Just build that kingdom anew, Lord. Give it that enduring quality. I know it's in there, Lord. It's in the seed. Let us believe with all our hearts that we're in the name of the Lord. It's a strong tower, and the devil can never flood us out. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord, for Your service. Thank You, Lord, for seeing our needs. And even me as a minister, Lord, I thank You for leading me the right way. As I saw Your word come and just going right through our hearts, making it right. Lord, You took a totally different way I thought I'd go today. But Lord, I thank You for it. I thank You for Your faithfulness to Your people. Lord, I know I love them, but how much more do You? Thank You, Lord. Thank You for feeding the sheep of God, for giving a big help of the sheep food. May they keep feeding on that word, Lord, day in and day out, and just be the Christians You ordained them to be. Let us lay all of our sins right here in this service right now under that blood of the Lamb. May there not be one soul here leave with condemnation, but may they know they've been accepted in the Beloved. That God has called them by His grace. That means He's going to make them endure. He brought them into the door so they could be free to roam in the sheepfold. Hallelujah. We thank You, Lord, for being so good. We give our hearts afresh to You. We love You, Lord Jesus. We love You with all our hearts. And we thank You for loving us more than we could ever imagine. In Jesus Christ's name, we accept these promises. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Now don't doubt, brother, sister. Just hold right there. You feel that joy in your heart. Didn't just feel like the day you got saved. Glory to God. Don't just feel like that all over again, that refreshing presence. Don't let the world burning you down. I understand this world's bad. It's falling apart. But you won't fall apart, brother, sister. God's got you in the palm of His hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. I just feel to worship Him a little while. Let's just praise Him for a little bit. If you don't know, let's just worship. I heard
an old story, how a Savior came.
Let's raise our hands.
Glory. he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me.
Just worship now.
I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory.
Come on, believe it now.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me.
He sought us and he bought. Thank you, Lord.